Yes, from what I gather from the history, no former dean has completed theology in Maynooth, but it is a first, yes.
Yes, so obviously this means you went through Maynooth and you were ordained, were you not, as a Catholic priest?
It's funny you should talk about that now, because my wife was training in RTÉ Philharmonic Choir a few weeks ago, on the 6th of September, and I went out to collect her. And as I was going out to collect her, I just remembered that exactly 30 years previous, I'd entered the gates of Maynooth for the first time in 1978. I did my training in Maynooth, a real happy time. It was a brilliant education in philosophy and theology. I was ordained for the Diocese of Cloyne in 1984 and ministered in northeast Cork in 1984 in a village called Tallulis.
And you're from that area, really, aren't
you? I'm from Mallow in County Cork. I can't say I'm a Corkman because I was born in County Leash. I don't think you can be a Corkman unless you're there five generations.
Right.
So, no, I was reared in Mallow. So it was about 26 miles from my hometown.
Yes.
And I spent 6 years in that village in Tallulis. It was part of a three-church parish. And there were 6 happy years, and the people are wonderful down there. And I, academically, Maynooth provided great training, but pastorally, the training began when I was ordained. When it went down,
right.
The people trained me in pastoral ministry. I would have to say.
And you say there were happy years, but obviously, there was a certain sense of unease in what you were about.
A lot of unease around the areas of morality and some areas of dogma as well. They principally centred on issues on sexuality, humana vitae being one, the issue of ordination of women and the closure of ordination to women was another. I found that I was thinking in a different way, and my thought was developing in ways that we were too tight on our laws on sexuality, on our moral teaching, especially when it came to experiencing families, large families, who were going through terrible experiences because they were bound by the humana vitae law. And if they had been open to contraception, it would have been much different for them. And it was affecting people's lives on the ground in a major way. And I felt that I don't think God meant this for people. And people were very honest about it. And it began to develop in me the thought that humana vitae was a bit outdated. The ordination of women, I cannot see why. I cannot see Christ in the gospel objecting to women being part of his ministry, because we're very much part of his ministry in the gospel. And why aren't they very much part of the ordained ministry within the church?
So these were obviously issues that you weren't going to be able to come to terms with within the Roman Catholic Church.
No, and I have to emphasize that they're my issues, that I cannot talk about the laws and regulations of another church, but it was part of my journey and my issues, and that I was coming to a point where I was feeling a bit of a fake in some sense, of preaching one thing but believing another. And I came to a point where I needed to be honest and just move away from the church, because from the church of my birth, because I didn't agree with what some of the issues that it was.
So you moved out of that parish?
I moved out of that parish and went to another ministry in London, still in the Roman Catholic Church. I became chaplain of a large teaching hospital in North London, and there I was opened up to Anglicanism, and we shared ministry in the hospital, and it was a wonderful sharing. And I got to know just the ins and outs of Anglicanism and Anglican theology. I began to read at the same time about Anglican theology, and found that it was touching a part which wasn't touched before, and I was agreeing with a lot of the approaches that Anglican theology makes, especially in relation to morality.
So it wasn't that you wanted to move away from ministry?
Oh no, ministry is my life, and I did move out of it for 4 years and engage in other occupations, which were very fruitful, but they weren't having a deep desire to minister in God's church. And ministry is my life, and I'm delighted to be given the opportunity to minister.
Well, you certainly have a great opportunity now as the 35th Dean of Christchurch Cathedral. And so what are your hopes now?
My hopes about Christchurch, and it is a wonderful privilege to be there. Christchurch is almost a beacon of Christianity at the top of Dame Street. And therefore, I cannot see it as just being confined to one denomination, that it needs to be almost post-denominational in what it's saying about Christianity, that we get people from so many different backgrounds and faiths that we're not plying one particular faith, even though we are deeply rooted in the Church of Ireland and in the prayer book. But the whole outreach of the cathedral is to all people. And that challenges and excites me, that element of it.